Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Do it.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're back in the rugby dungeon after round 22 of the Premiership, after the conclusion, well, almost the conclusion of the Rainbow Cup, after the first leg of the Championship playoff, and all sorts of other rugby stories to talk about besides, which we will be getting into in the Rugby Dungeon. I'm Tim, that is JB.
Hello, Tim.
That is Phil.
Hello, Tim.
I could have made us look like a real boy band if I'd worn my...
white T-shirt, yeah.
White T-shirt.
It's 25 degrees outside at nearly 9 o'clock, and it's 80 to 90% humidity. Why are you wearing a hoodie, Tim?
It looks like he's been training. Look at his new sneaks.
Ooh, some Brooks. Are they running shoes?
They are.
They're runners.
Are they ghosts?
They're ghosts, yeah.
Oh.
They're my annual half price vitality purchase with not my life insurance, not a sponsor
of the podcast.
No, but they're welcome.
Yes, yep, absolutely welcome. Absolutely welcome.
We do a great job for you, Vitality.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And Vitality would do a great job for your life insurance. I thought before I left the house, I feel I'm a little bit beefy because I've been training.
Yeah, you've been working out.
You know how it is.
I don't want to brag, but I squat cleaned 120. This week, I don't want to talk about it.
Nice.
Did you? How low?
As low as possible.
How much into the squat did you have? No. I mean, how much of the squat were you already in to get the bar up? Because actually, it's hard to get 120k up too high anyway.
The getting it up, wasn't the issue. I failed with my squat coming back up. I was getting it to shoulders, no problem. But then getting off the ground was difficult. Very difficult.
You know what's good training for that?
Front squats.
Front squat with a 2 second pause at the bottom. So you don't use the elastic bounce. You actually, yeah. Anyway. This is nothing to do with
great
rugby.
Great chat.
It's good though. And, you know, glad any weight chat, talk
about. Absolutely.
Let us know your other weight scores through the podcast. But thank you for listening. If you haven't already, hit subscribe wherever you get your podcast, be it Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the other places. If you haven't subscribed yet, do, because the Lions is coming up, which means you're going to get videos coming at you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Videos, I'll get into that in a minute. Podcasts coming at you all the time. Videos as well on YouTube. And thank you very much to our patrons on patreon.com/eggchasers. Go there just for no other reason than to see what three guys on World Rugby's cameras trying not to look drunk but failing looks like, and then find out all the little goodies you can get by giving us your support.
Yep.
And thank you very much for that. And on that note, we will be doing a shirt giveaway on this podcast in just a little bit. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Very good. Been enjoying the sunshine this weekend.
Yeah.
It's lovely and warm today. Yeah. Me and JB had couple of beers and a barbecue this afternoon.
We did. Yes.
Did he? How did he? His portions and all the different things. Did he cook up? Did he over cater on a barbecue?
It was a friend of the pod, Steve Elliott, who was cooking and did a good job.
Did a very good job.
Did a very good. Did some. It was like his take on a Philly cheesesteak.
Nice.
Which was very good.
Now, are you going to say what I expect you to say? Because I hope this is where this is going. People who cook too much meat on barbecues are basically tyrants.
We have mentioned it before. There's no need.
No need.
And I actually, it was you said on a previous podcast about what country was it? They do it where they in South Africa where they cook a bit, bring it round.
Yeah, and that's the way to do it.
And I did that this evening.
So good, isn't it? So much better.
Barbecued a bit of salmon with some chili and lemon juice, and then we ate that. So I'm just talk amongst yourselves for a second. I need to take my top off.
It is very warm in here. I'm astonished you're wearing that.
Right, we're also on streaming on YouTube right now. So if you are on YouTube, your comments, your questions, your thoughts, anything whatsoever, take the podcast where you will. I'm just going to go and look at that in a minute. Tell you what, should we do the Patreon shirt giveaway?
Let's do that now.
Yeah.
Let's get it done.
So a little heads up as well. So our patrons, what do they get? They get priority access to live podcast shows, and the sooner normality is back, the better, so we can do lots of those.
Mm-hmm.
You get entered into a shirt giveaway to win one of the jerseys monthly from the Rugby Dungeon, and there is some extra little nuggets we pop up there, among other things, and it just means that when we do live shows, we can actually get proper professional help and not fumbling in the dark as we do.
Like GB News today.
Like GB News today.
Yeah. If you think this is interesting, if you think this is easy, just have a look at GB News. It's not.
It's really not.
It's really not.
But that's why you do a soft launch on a Sunday night rather than go big on a Monday morning. Right, what jersey?
Well, you have a knack of just picking my favourites and giving them away. Don't. There's something you can't give away. You can't give away Brady. You can't give away Benjamin. Ever. Greenwood can go. How about that?
Really?
I have no attachment to an old Harlequins jersey.
Mm. An actual Premiership Harlequins jersey of Will Greenwood's.
Maybe not.
I like that, Jay.
Yeah.
I like that. That is just demonstrating how much we care about the people that make this podcast possible.
Yeah, the always back yourself at home jersey. That they'll only go if it's for a good cause. If
the Chris Robshaw World Cup 20.
Yeah, the only way I'll ever get rid of that is for, like, I don't know, if we're raising money for someone. That's the only way that's ever leaving here.
Yeah.
That jersey as well is absolutely filthy.
No, that's it. This is the filthy one. Oh, which one is it?
That's the Chris Robshaw.
That's the we always back ourselves at home Chris Robshaw England shirt.
It is filthy.
The other one is the Dylan Hartley.
Dylan Hartley signed shirt.
The Dills one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Will Greenwood, I love that. An actual Premiership shirt worn by...
Yeah, you
British
put me off it. You put me off
Lions.
It now. You put me off it now.
No, do it, Jay. Do it. It's only stuff. Can't take it with you, but someone can have that can have a great home.
I've got no sons. They're not going to be interested in any of this, are they?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, go on then.
The Will Greenwood jersey.
Oh, why?
Okay. Greenwood, and it's a nice big shirt as well. Let's have a look. Drum roll, please.
If you don't want the Greenwood jersey, and if you win, you don't want it, let me know, and I'll provide you something else.
Okay. That's such an awesome shirt to wear to a game as well, like proper vintage.
It is an awesome shirt, and I'm giving it away. It's over 20 years old, that shirt.
It is number 295. It is Bob Sugden.
Bob Sugden. I feel like that should go to a Quinns fan, actually. Bob, if you're not a Quinns fan, let me know, and I'll sort you out with something else.
Yeah, there's a negotiation to be had, Bob.
Because I do, if that's going to go somewhere, it should be to a Quinns fan.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Well, but hey, patreon.com/eggchasers. Representing BT Sport as I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, very well.
I just want to say how wonderful it is that BT Sport have got the second leg of the Championship playoff when it's all to play for. And Ealing Trailfinders, the comeback is on, I'm telling you.
Wow.
Everyone tune into this one. When I watched this, what popped into my head was...
So you okay? Can you go on? Get him a body bag! Yeah!
All right. That bit from Karate Kid.
Some of the chatter on this game this week has been very kind, but not really very realistic.
Yes.
Comparing Ealing to Exeter would be up there with... with that description. I think they were quoted as saying Saracens are wary of Exeter-like challenge from Ealing. Not sure that's quite what's going to happen.
Exeter, when I played against them 11 years ago now.
I love that little drop. Don't you love that you can just drop that in?
Go on, carry on, Phil.
That's kind of it. That is the whole point, that Exeter, when they first got promoted, there might be some comparisons, because that Exeter team did bring in a lot of talent, but it still wasn't, it was multiple years before it was able to compete at the top level of the Premiership, and Saracens are the team that they've got, the team they put out today is the top level of the Premiership. it's the top level of world rugby. They've probably got half a dozen players in that team who are in the top five players in their position in the world.
It is
a world class team. So it's not surprising that Ealing have been hammered. That doesn't mean that Ealing are a terrible team. It just really shows the state of Saracens.
Yeah, and I mean, to draw a parallel, we had the French top 14 playoff game, which we'll talk about in a bit, between Bayonne and Biarritz, which was the third bottom team in the top 14 playing against the third top team in the Pro Dead Deux. And I would have, just to draw that parallel, I would have loved to have seen how Ealing would get on against Worcester. I still think Worcester would win.
Worcester would batter them, judging by this.
I think Saracens would batter Worcester.
Yeah.
There is that argument as well, yes.
Saracens, Ealing are not the first team to have that Saracens team.
Worcester are the outlier in the Premiership, aren't they, as to like how poor they are at the moment.
Yeah, I know they had three games cancelled through COVID, which they all got wins for. So they may well have won some of those games that were cancelled, but remember,
it's unlikely.
They only had one league win in the entire season.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
So I think Saracens would batter Worcester.
I think you're broadly correct.
Yeah, they would put, I'd say, more than 40 points on.
Well, you have to ask another question, don't you? Which is like, I understand why Saracens had to get relegated. I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
Action had to be taken. But is it really fair to have a team like that down in the Championship? I don't mean on the club itself, but I mean all the other people who are competing in that competition is distorted for effectively 1 year. They do like playing against Saracens if you're not chasing promotion, but Ealing are chasing promotion. And all you isn't particularly very useful from a sporting context to get the greatest team or one of the greatest teams in Premiership history and then put them with a bunch of minnows.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you are right.
By the way, the alternative would have been them playing Leicester this year. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
they're pretty handy.
Yeah, well, certainly Leicester this year are a lot better than Leicester last year.
Actually, you know, Leicester, with the team they have now, because there's so many kids coming through, they could probably have put out a similar team in the Championship, and it wouldn't have done them any harm. They would have come back up, and actually, you know, that Leicester team would be fine for next year as well.
Well, Leicester they've effectively benefited from relegation without relegation, because they have they've used the opportunity of no relegation to totally clear house and restructure their team, which is what would normally happen if you look back at, say, Northampton or Quinns when they got relegated, successfully bounced back up immediately, unlike someone like Bristol or Leeds or... London Wasps did bounce back up immediately, but...
They did.
Not for the better. But then, obviously, Quinns and Northampton went on to win it because they cleared some of the deadwood, got some of the talented youngsters coming through the ranks. I mean, in Quinn's case, guys like Monia, I think Brown, Kerr were either of that vintage or slightly afterwards.
Yeah. Interestingly, Kerr has got his own relegation story.
With Leeds.
With Leeds.
Yeah. I was chatting to Glenn Delaney yesterday at Sandy Park.
How is Glenn?
He's wonderful. Cracking bloke as ever.
One of my favourite coaches.
Interesting perspective on Scarlets and stuff. Much of which I had to ask him questions and infer from his strategic answers what the truth was, because, you know... Because
sounds to me he's not been treated particularly well there.
Well, he hasn't said that.
No, I've said that.
Yeah, he certainly hasn't, but a really good bloke. But no, it was interesting because we were reminiscing, because Steve-O, the Exeter press guy, me and him were having a good old chat about the Championship when Glenn was in charge of Nottingham, and... Glenn was just reminding me, at that time, there were five or six, it might have been in your era, Phil, five or six genuine teams that were gunning for promotion. Really competitive. Plymouth Albion, yep. Exeter.
Plymouth Albion?
Plymouth Albion, Exeter, Bristol, Cornish Pirates, Cornish Press, Nottingham.
Yeah, Nottingham. Well, Nottingham went to Notts County's ground for a period of time.
I was talking to someone who's involved with Plymouth Albion now, and they are looking to build something there. And they were talking about the cross they used to get. And it used to be a big old club.
Well, my brother used to play there. And they used to get big crowds.
Dan Ward Smith,
Kenny Fisselau, and Nick Sesteray, who went on to Exeter, and a couple of other players. Yeah, they're a really good team. Anyway, Championship final. Watch the second leg on BT Sport next weekend. It's gonna go down to the wire.
Ooh.
Are you working that one?
Tell me you're working.
No, I'm not. I'm just, you know, it'll be fascinating to watch. and it'll be a real, real good game to watch. So do not miss it on BT Sport.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if nothing else, you get to see some of the best players in the world
That's
play.
That's very true. That's legitimately true. So, Anthony Jempson, good evening to you. Questions, thoughts on the live chat? He says, Anthony says, CrossFit, Tim? Yeah, no big deal, mate, but yeah.
You two talk about little else other than CrossFit.
What is there to talk about in life? What else is there to talk about?
Other than big lifts and wads.
Yeah, only wads. That's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jason Lane says, has the dungeon changed? He's not watched for a few weeks.
We shuffle things around a little bit.
We've had a little shuffle. Thank you for watching. Hit subscribe and then you'll get a little notification.
We haven't
when
been
we go
on
live.
For the last few weeks because Tim's been away. And
yeah,
we
that's my
don't
bad.
Have the right cables.
Mm. Which we need to sort for Lions month.
Yes, we do need to sort that.
Let's do that. We'll get that. Anyway.
Cables.
That's a conversation.
Yeah.
A separate conversation. Question for JB. How can you square prior statements on the pod about not wanting to hear any players' opinions on politics and health, but then back Laws coming out with politicised interviews and stuff?
Don't think I have.
Has Courtney Laws said something else?
No, not I know of. No.
Okay, cool. Well, before we get into the rugby, what's the quick news this week?
So, one of the things, I'm astonished, JB, you're not wearing your beloved Benetton shirt.
Yeah, that's not going either, before you have any ideas. Yeah, astonishingly, Benetton are going to be flying the flag for Northern Hemisphere rugby for the Celtic Nations.
In the Mushroom Cup.
In the Mushroom Cup.
Yes. After
best Celtic nation by a country mile.
they are. So Benetton, they had to beat, or at least get a losing point, a try bonus draw against Ospreys to go through. That never had to happen because Ospreys had a few COVID cases. The game got cancelled. So before the weekend even took place, Benetton were popping the Prosecco, I assume, given from where they're from.
Absolutely.
To celebrate winning the whole thing, finishing top of the Rainbow Cup
Incredible.
North. And then on Saturday, the Bulls travelled to the Sharks in Durban to see who would be winning Rainbow Cup South.
And then?
And the Bulls won. The Bulls beat the Sharks
so now
in
what?
Durban. So the Bulls now travel to Northern Italy to play against Benetton.
Is that going to be allowed to go ahead?
Mind you,
Europe's opening up now, isn't it?
Yeah. As I understand it. It's the stadium in Treviso they'll be playing.
Fantastic.
Do we think they're going to have an Ealing-style shock when they face off against each other?
It's an interesting question. I know.
None of the South African international players are going to be playing.
Are they not?
No.
So, well...
They're not allowed to travel. They're not allowed to...
Oh, yeah, of course. Because the travel is interesting, yeah.
So Benetton could be global champs.
Wow.
Vermaelen's injured anyway. There might be a few kind of ex-Springboks. I don't know if Trevor Nyakane's in the squad this time around for the Springboks, but he plays for the Bulls. So Benetton might legitimately have a shot.
Yeah,
imagine
that will be an interesting game.
I'll definitely watch that.
Malachi Fekitoa,
yes,
he's going to be playing for his homeland of Tonga.
Just don't get this. Why should they have to jump through so many bloody hoops?
What are the hoops, and why can't Charles Piatel do it?
So the hoops are you have to play. There are certain specific sevens registering tournaments that allow you to. There's a loophole they've kind of left open.
Oh, there was chat about Carl Ferns and Stefan Armitage doing
playing
that.
For France, yeah.
Playing for France.
Imagine Ferns, Stefan Armitage playing sevens. Yeah, I think it could go very well or very poorly.
Yeah. obviously it's not about the sevens. It's about them qualifying to play at the next World Cup, which Fekitoa is. Sir Charles can't because. The Monaco Sevens tournament is when Bristol are playing.
Oh.
So had if Bristol were less successful this season, Piatow could have re-registered for Tonga.
That feels such a wrong way to approach it.
To leave the loop.
Particularly as he goes to Monaco on holiday so often.
Where he can afford to.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as he retires, he'll be moving all of his financial affairs to Monaco.
Rightly so.
It does feel a bit wrong that there is this loophole that everyone knows is there that has not been closed, but is some people can't access it because they play for certain clubs. That just feels wrong.
Yeah.
You either close the loophole, which I don't think is right, or you make it far more open and transparent and just say, look, if you want to switch, there are certain conditions around it, but let's actually put it in place and you don't have to have these stupid qualifying events.
Yeah. there must be a reason for this loophole to remain open. There must be some legal reason, because I assume that it's things to do with Olympic qualification, or the things you need for Olympic qualification are different, right.
I think you're right.
IRB, World Rugby Rules.
Yeah, and that it might be that is the reason for the loophole, that you've effectively got two branches of qualification rules.
Whatever the case, this strikes me as another example of rugby doing a really good job at nearly getting it right.
How do you mean?
Well, this is so rugby. It's so rugby to go, we're going to allow this to happen. Oh, but by the way, only if this and this and this happens, which make no logical sense.
Fekitoa being allowed to switch seems like the right thing.
I agree, completely.
Pietau being stopped because he's at a club that's doing well feels...
Yeah.
It just feels wrong.
If they both have the intent to do it, they're both in almost identical positions, i.e. they played for the All Blacks a long period of time ago. They played relatively few caps, although that shouldn't really matter. They are both Tongan or certainly of Tongan descent and want to play for Tonga. So
I don't believe this is legal. This is world rugby. This isn't a law thing. This is a world rugby.
Yeah, this should be a regulation. Governing body.
So they could get around it if they wanted to.
Yeah, I do think you should be allowed one switch. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah, I would have switch in probably more control parameters than you would, but I would
maybe if you're over 30, you can have a switch or whatever.
I would have it. Yeah, what I wouldn't want is say, I don't know, Tui Silva and Randranda, for example, being able to now switch from Fiji to play for England or France or
England, the All Blacks. Like that.
I mean, as an Englishman, I'd like Randranda playing.
I'd take him,
but. That would just feel totally wrong if you could switch that way.
Yeah, agreed. But like Nathan Hughes, would love to see him at the World Cup for Fiji. I don't think he should ever have... Well, no, for him, and I would have done what he did, I would have played for England and taken that 25 grand every game.
100%.
But he's a Fijian, and he should have played for Fiji. So.
Any other news?
There was an interesting one with Tom Youngs.
Yeah, okay.
So Tom Youngs was charged...
Oh, this is back to last week's Leicester-Bristol.
Yes. So after the fracas, the event, everything that we discussed last week was really surrounding the Lam Afoa... Is it Carly situation?
Tempest.
Situation. And then, evidently, after that, I think after the game, Tom Youngs is reported to have said... you're not effing strong enough to have given a penalty try to Ian Tempest. So he has then been charged for bringing the game into disrepute and also disrespecting the officials.
Fair, by the sound of it.
It does sound fair. Yeah, yeah.
Or at least worthy of being in front of the authorities.
Yeah. Now, let's see how it plays out. Yeah. I think he probably should get a combination of a fine or a ban. I can understand his frustration, though, at the situation, so I think that should be considered.
Yeah, but we haven't heard anything yet about... Well, one, I just mentioned Nathan Hughes. We haven't heard anything about Nathan Hughes doing exactly what Harry Williams did last year against Saracens for Exeter, going on the field when he was a replacement with the bib on.
Oh, yeah.
And we haven't heard anything about Pat Lam, have we?
Yes, we have.
Have we?
Yeah. So I can confirm this. The RFU have emailed Bristol and are launching an inquiry. So this was confirmed by Bristol on Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever their press conference day was. That was said on the Zoom call. Bit disappointed with how Lam handled the whole thing, actually.
Well, last week or in the press conference?
In the press call, yeah. So he spoke about... Well, he said he's delighted that there's an inquiry happening because it'll allow everyone to put stuff into context, and once everything's in context, you know, presumably... they'll come out smelling of roses.
And John Afoa might be a year older then, which he can then bring up.
Yeah. Absolutely right. He's nearly 40 and there's COVID about. What? I don't agree with Lam on that at all. I don't agree with him because it is in context. It couldn't be in any more context, could it? I mean, there's cameras, several cameras on you. There's microphones on you.
Well, there were bits we didn't hear.
Yeah.
One bit we don't know is, did Afoa go on himself, which I think he probably did, or did Lam Tams go on? But that's the only bit we don't know.
Yeah.
And that can only go badly for Pat Lam. Because as we understand it, Afoa just went on. So it could only get worse.
Yeah, I think. So we finding out a bit more, getting a bit more context.
It might really happen. Yeah, yeah. So the RFU are definitely doing something with it.
But you're right. I think that will probably just demonstrate that Lamb took the decision to say that Afoa was injured himself, mm-hmm. and Afoa then stepped up and said, no, boss, I'm not injured. But
yeah.
It was, I don't think Lamb ever consulted Afoa to say, are you injured or anything like that. I think it was a unilateral decision from Lamb.
So he thinks, or at least he's saying, once it's all in context, it'll come out and, you know, obviously he'll be proved right, which is fine. There's a, you know, that's what he thinks. That's what he thinks. But he's also using it as cover, in my opinion, to not answer any questions about the event, because he now goes to, well, there's an inquiry, and until the inquiry has been heard, we won't be saying anything else. Yeah. And I think there are two things going on, which he should, well, one which he can class as covered by the inquiry, another which I think he should address. So the things covered by the inquiry, presumably, are going to be things more like, were the rules broken? What do the rules say? How do we adjust the rules of the competition to, you know, yada, 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 yada? It'll be very technical, won't it? What I don't think it will address in that actual inquiry will be how he treated Ian Tempest. And I don't think anyone can say that he treated Ian Tempest well. And even if, in context, heat the moment, we all say silly things, I don't hold him particularly, well, not responsible. I don't think he's an awful person for what he did. I do think there's certainly some scope there to say, yeah, I put too much pressure on Tempest. I shouldn't have spoke to a Tempest like that. And saying that a referee has liability for player's injury was bang out of order. I will never, ever do that again. You don't need an inquiry for that.
That bit, that last bit, I mean, compare. So Tom Youngs has said, you're not effing strong enough after the game, after the Leicester have lost to Tempest. Is how much worse than that is to say, well, you're liable if he gets injured?
I think
the Lamb thing is actually worse.
Far worse. For me. Tommy Youngs is kicking out, lashing out verbally, isn't he? Because he's lost a game. He shouldn't have said it. But he did say it. And ultimately, I think, from his point of view, he's just pointing out a statement of fact. Like, Ian Tempest could have given a penalty try on a different day.
That neither are excusable.
But yeah.
We're just deciding on the magnitude, but...
Both are wrong. Both are definitely wrong.
There is a material difference, right? So that's, you know, what he said, what Youngs has said is wrong. What Lamb said was potentially manipulative, and that's why I think that is wrong. Because Young said it after the game. They still should have said it.
Yeah, we went through this last week. I do agree. So that, thank you. I didn't know that they've confirmed there is something happening. So,
yeah.
Right, we'll watch.
We've not heard anything about Nathan Hughes. You're right about that one. That's a weird one.
Well, there was a couple of people at Sandy Park who mentioned it to me. They said, have you heard anything about that? Because, you know, they were, understandably, and I think I pointed it out on last week's thing, it's exactly like Harry Williams.
I'm actually surprised, you know, that there's not an inquiry alongside disciplinaries. So I would say the disciplinaries are for breaking the laws of the game, as Tom Youngs is finding out. Same should happen to Pat Lamb, same should happen to whoever else spoke to referee in any way disparagingly or in any way that could try and manipulate him. That should just happen. And then the inquiry can deal with, are these rules fit for purpose? Do we need to rewrite them? Were people, you know, trying to circumvent them? That kind of thing.
Right.
There should be two things.
Rather than all just purely punitive, it's like, is there something we need to to actually address here? Yeah, that's cool. Well, let's talk about a bit of rugby then. And I'm, for once, JB, I'm 100% happy to start with a game involving your Sale Sharks. What a game of rugby at Sandy Park.
Best not talk about it.
You were there, Tim.
Hey, anyone see the Kyle Bayliss try? Kyle Bayliss, that's the guy I used to play with. Josh Bayliss.
Oh, Josh Bayliss scored an absolute world
wonderful try.
Serious wheels.
Was it a good try?
Serious wheels.
Amazing try. Both. Amazing
well
try.
Well done, Stuart Hooper.
Yeah, well done, Stuart Hooper. So what's Stuart Hooper?
No, what a game at Sandy Park. It was one of those days I felt so lucky and privileged to be able to be there and watch that. What a game of rugby.
I don't understand this game. I don't know enough about rugby. I found this out.
It was a hell of a game. And this is another game. So the Sale game.
What is going on? Everything all right?
The house falling down.
Yeah, they know what's going on upstairs.
What was the Sale game a few weeks ago? It wasn't the Quinns game. Sale put in an amazing performance a few weeks ago against Bristol.
Yeah.
Sale's performance against Bristol was it made for an incredible spectacle of rugby.
Sensational.
This was an incredible spectacle of rugby. This was a brilliant game. And from a neutral, wearing a neutral hat, I really, really enjoyed like every minute. The story as it unfolded from, obviously, Sale, they know they've got to go for the 5 points to nil, 5 league points to nil, the 4-try win, and stop Exeter getting anything. They came out of the blocks so well. They were so aggressive. They were so clinical. They created space out wide. Their power through the middle allowed them space out wide. They scored that try in, what, 2 minutes? Under two yeah. minutes? And you thought, this is on. And then they score another try through McGinty, and another. They scored three tries in that first.
Well, that third try went over. It's like, this is done.
Yeah, yeah. That was just after half time, wasn't it? 100%.
100%.
God, they're going to do this.
From doing the interviews before the game, I don't know if you heard Alex Anderson pre-match.
No, I didn't.
I know you heard him post-match. Pre-match, well, I'll put it this way. I walked from the interview position up to the press room, and I said to the guys, Ali Eakin and Bod and Sarah and Glenn Delaney, and I said, Sale are winning this. There was just, I listened to Alex Anderson and I just came away going,
yeah,
Sale are winning this. And yeah, you're right, they started on fire.
They were
50 minutes. They were it wasn't just that they were on top, they were dominating Exeter. And crucially, they didn't let Exeter get into their 22, because Alex Anderson mentioned this. 58% of Exeter's points originate in the 22.
Really?
Yeah.
So mostly from a penalty kick to the corner.
Yeah, they're so clinical.
Of their points. So Sale clearly had a plan of, don't let them get in our 22. And if they do get in our 22, Tom Curry, attack every breakdown.
Get it.
Tom Curry, and because Ben came on relatively early.
Yeah.
Which is another tale of the game which will have consequences for next week, which was, after whatever it was, 5 to 10 minutes, Akhavan Namurba goes off, and he'd been involved in everything up to that point.
Yep.
His grubber kick, his cross-field grubber kick.
I mean, if that could have been a third try in like 15 minutes.
Yeah. So he went off, Cam Neild went off, and obviously Cam Neild for Ben Curry is, well, if anything, it's an upgrade on the pitch, but it's still an injury. And the biggest injury, I think, for Sale is, it only happened in the 78th minute or whatever it was, but AJ going off.
Yeah.
And AJ being kind of stretched off.
It's bad, isn't it? It's not looking promising, that's all I'll say.
He was so good. And of everything that Sale did well, yes, they've got this amazing, enormous, well-drilled pack, but everything goes through AJ. And AJ creates the space out wide for the crossfield kicks or the balls to go out wide, because his time on the ball and his decision-making are so good. And the try that he scored, I don't know if you noticed who was marking AJ when AJ scored that try.
Simmons?
No.
Who was it?
Slade. Because, not because they put Slade opposite AJ. Because the whole Exeter back line had been drawn in. So AJ was standing in his usual position, but all the Exeter back line had all been drawn in, so that when AJ goes, it's actually Slade that he's against. And he could have done anything. He could have crossfield, he could have two hands, and there's a walk-in, or he can go himself, and he's got all of those options available to him.
And the same space was available out wide when he gave the kick for the pass for Byron McGuigan, the kick for Reed. So yeah, they were finding space out wide, which is exactly what Exeter do. That's what I found amazing for those 50 minutes. It was like all of the things Sale did really well is what Exeter do really well. And then Exeter get a red card.
Yeah.
And that makes them better, and Sale just let the foot off the gas.
And weirdly, this is Sale's trick. Like, this is what Sale do. Like, they should know how to deal with this, because that's what they do. They get two yellow cards or a red card and then off to the races.
Yeah.
All the teams that for it to happen to against.
You've got to give credit to Exeter.
Phenomenal.
Comeback.
But they are phenomenal. That's it, isn't it? I mean, I don't think I need to say too much about Exeter, because, well, they've been phenomenal for years.
But it is the sign of such a good team to come back from that position. You're 19-3 down, you get a red card, there's less than 30 minutes on the clock. This is going to be a Sale win. This is set up for a Sale win.
And it was looking like not just a Sale win, the most likely outcome was Sale 5 points to 0.
Correct, yeah.
But the one thing that happened for me, and I only thought about this afterwards, so I didn't actually, and plus time was short, so I wouldn't have had the chance to ask Alex Anderson about this after the game, but Manu Tuilagi was swapped for Rob Dupree, and that was when it all went wrong for Sale. Because, and it's only when you think back to that game in those first 50 minutes, the number of times when you thought, oh, Tuilagi's going to bash this one up, and exactly as you said, Phil, Exeter were narrow. Part of the reason Exeter were narrow is because they've got this threat running straight down the middle that they're all wary of. And AJ just...
And they should be wary of.
And AJ just uses all the space. When you have Rob Dupree and Sam James in your centres, Exeter can go, right, we've got this.
But weirdly, Rob Dupree came on for Manu a few weeks ago, did he? Yeah, he did, because Van Rensburg was on the... Well, and who did Rob Dupree come on for? This is going to frustrate me.
Well, it doesn't matter, but it ended up being AJ, Rob Dupree, and Sam James as your centre, your midfield.
The reason it surprised me is because the ready-made replacement for Manu is Van Rensburg.
Yeah.
And twice he's gone with Dupree over Van Rensburg to replace Manu.
That's not what happened yesterday. Rob Dupree was named as number 23 in the squad, but his wife gave birth, so he stayed.
Rohan.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Van. Who did you say?
Yeah, so Van Rensburg.
Yeah.
When he's been on the bench with Rob Dupree,
that's normally a light for light.
I see what you're saying.
So he's come on for Manu. Yes.
That is a really interesting point, because you're right. They didn't actually use Manu that much, but the threat of Manu is enough to make. As I mentioned before, that Exeter defends narrow. I think it happened multiple times that they managed to exploit it. That's interesting. But I think there's a lot that both teams can learn about the other team from this game, which makes next week all the more fascinating.
Well, on the long drive back from Exeter to Sale, I was thinking about this a lot, going out, oh, what does Sale do without AJ? And Rob Dupree's a decent 10, solid.
Okay.
He's not AJ.
No, he's not. He's really I said 2 years ago, no one believed me.
He's not AJ.
Did they? No one believed me.
But
about what?
That AJ was not far better. Is my preferred option.
But I also wanted to think back a couple of years. Sale, a couple of years ago, played so much more of their rugby through Faf. And they can dial that up a little bit. And actually still be really threatening.
They can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I think they did play better rugby when they played off Faf. And the reason I thought that...
Yeah, and they scored many more tries. Yeah. This season, they've not scored many tries. Their defence has just been awesome.
What tends to happen, right? People think that playing off the nine is a bit negative. Like, you know, you're crushing it up or whatnot. What, in fact, you're doing is... You're doing, well, in some cases, some quite complex stuff just off the nine. Whether that be, you know, having the forward carry the ball and then pull it back behind a forward or whatever it is. Ends up perversely giving you... 10 more time. Whereas if you're playing off 10, not only have you got to work harder to get around the 10, you've also given the opportunity for the defence a little bit more time to read the play and also get off the line.
So I think there are still ways of managing without AJ. Yeah. They've shown that in years gone by.
Yeah, they will do.
They're gonna
it is a big loss. Because he's in such good form.
Yeah.
He's maybe only second to Marcus Smith in terms of form 10s in the league.
Devastating. And I mean, from a player point of view as well, what's so upsetting about this, and it's professional sport, it does happen, it's how hard AJ has worked. I feel like Ugo how hard he has worked in order to get to this point, because, you know, like
cold showers
in the morning, extra kicking, extra this. The guy's rededicated himself to the craft of being a fly off, and the biggest game is around the corner, and he won't make either of them, I'd suggest.
It looks
and a game against England.
Oh, yeah.
USA.
Gutted for him. Absolutely gutted for him.
Yeah. Let's hope, because we've not actually heard. It looked bad on the day.
Well,
we've not
actually heard. Alex Anderson mentioned, and again, this is part of the reason that it was very noisy. There wasn't a lot of time, so I had to get my questions away quickly. But I didn't actually process that one of the things that Alex Anderson said to me when I said, what can you tell us about Akhavan Demirva and AJ? And his answer was, yeah, we might be without three of our best players. And in my head, I just went, I must mean Cam Neild. But actually, what I believe he was talking about, Tom Curry.
So Tom Curry got what looked like badly injured early on.
Hamstring.
Played on for a bit. I don't know how long he did play on for, actually. But
good half hour, I think.
Yeah, he did play on. Yeah, I mean,
I think he might have been referring to Tom Curry, so watch that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah.
Certainly was.
And that would be a massive loss. I mean, obviously, you've got another one of them on the bench, but I think Sale's best position is with two curries. The more curries you can get on the pitch, the better.
I completely agree with that.
But we haven't even talked about Exeter, and for a second week in a row, they've used the get-out-of-jail-free card. Their bench was awesome. Stuart Townsend, what a spark he has been in the last 2 weeks.
He's doing great, hasn't
he? Yeah. He's all, it is quite nice having the... Like, Maunders a bit more steady. Not to say that he can't do the live wire stuff, but he plays, when he plays that earlier role, he plays a bit more steady, more box kicking, simpler passing, less threat around the breakdown. And then Stu Townsend comes on and is a live wire.
I'm going to try and find the name of it. We had an audio expert get in touch, a sound expert.
Oh, yeah. Did you read that? It's fascinating.
Because I was just about to say, the noise at Sandy Park, 3,500 people, was unbelievable.
We can't mention his name.
Oh, no, that's right, we can't.
Can't mention his name, but we can weirdly mention his hobbies and where he lives.
Yeah, which is... open sea kayaking in North Wales.
Yeah. Oh. I like doing open sea kayaking in North Wales too. But not on Puffin Island.
Oh, yeah, and he said there are still puffins there.
Yeah, oh, there we are. We're giving away his location and his job and his hobby. So, yeah, but don't mention his name.
No.
Anyway.
But he said that, because you'd mentioned, I'd said how loud Brentford Stadium was with only 4,000 people in it. And you said, I wonder if it's like, you know, spreading, whether spreading out actually makes it louder in some way. And that's exactly what the case is.
Did you read his candle analogy?
Yes. Candles spread around a room will make the whole room feel brighter than if you had a bunch of candles clumped in one corner.
There you go.
That makes sense.
And so, sound travels until it hits another object. And if you all spread out 2 metres, there's more space for it to bounce around.
This is the future, isn't it? Spreading out the crowd. I tell you what I do like about the thinned crowds is how obvious people are. We're watching the football today, and you can actually watch the individual football fans going absolutely wild.
Yeah, when the goal went in, and everyone rushes down.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with themselves.
On the flip side, I really like seeing just a massive throng of people at the cricket.
Yeah,
getting on it. Well, I love that. I love that. In fact, I love that way more. And I want full crowds back. But interestingly, with stadiums, the one thing that is just unbearable on the negative is how loud the PA systems are. Particularly Sale Sharks is the worst.
What?
So ridiculously loud.
No, it's
loud.
Not.
And part of the reason is because they've got it turned up to the volume it would be for a full match day, but all this space for it to bounce off on.
I think Sale's PA is really good.
No, it's...
I love it.
I love the guys who do it, and we want to do some work with them, so I'm not disparaging the guys that
I think it's really
too loud.
Good.
It's too loud.
I like it.
It's too loud.
Not loud enough, if anything.
Yeah, if anything, it needs to dial up even more.
Exeter Chiefs, well played.
Fair play,
Exeter. Love it. Oh, still down. Stream's down, apparently.
No, it's back up now.
It's back up. Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And
so, just on Sale then, before we move on from Sale. The only result that I could game plan for, which was an absolute negative, was getting hammered. That was the only one, really. A close loss, fine.
A close loss could be very good because you can see what what you can do.
Close win, fine.
Course win, great, yeah.
A big win. Do I need to tell you about that? this was the one I didn't see, which is a narrow loss after absolutely dominating. And I think...
And three injuries.
Yeah. It's really, really bad. Now, I think, talking about, having chats and whatnot, that actually this is going to encourage them and inspire them to go forward. I do think this is going to put me in a better situation to win the Premiership now.
Well, Exeter will probably be without Yanis Kirsten, who had that big concussion. Oof. Well, it appeared to be a concussion, we don't know. But the HIA protocols mean he may miss out.
Is Jack Vermeulen available to come back in? Because that would be obvious.
He was not suited up in his kit, but he was walking around. He didn't look too injured, so he may well be available, which is pretty much like for like.
Yeah.
Sam Skinner will be unavailable. Johnny Gray may or may not be fit.
Okay.
So that could be a big hole filled or gap. One way or the other. And the other one is Dave Ewers may end up being unavailable, which would be a big loss for
Exeter. Because he's really coming into his own again, hasn't he?
And it would depend on him being cited. So that we can talk briefly about the two card decisions.
But if Exeter lost Dave Ewers, Yanis Kirsten, Jack Vermeulen and Sam Skinner, they are their four enormous second row /six/back rows.
100%.
And they are enormous.
And they are, all four of them are enormous. All four of them are really good. And they're all kind of like-for-like replacements for one another. So if you lose all of those, and that's probably the worst position to lose those players when you're going to be playing Sale. Yeah, if you lose those and then you're going to play Harlequins, okay, we can deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the other thing was, this game, it's sort of, true characters came out, I think. And what I mean by that is, Exeter started kicking points rather than just going for the corners, which is kind of telling when you're Exeter, when they deviate from what makes them so great. Well, did they deviate? I mean,
did they only do it for the final?
No.
The first kick and the last kick.
The first kick, okay.
Yeah, of course, because it was 19-3.
So
yeah.
I thought that was quite interesting. But even more interesting was the attitude of Sanderson post-game. First time I've ever heard him sounding like a fairly conventional DOR, talking about things like set piece. And that, to me, it's like, okay, yeah, they're going to go back now and they're going to be even better.
Because the set piece was, Sale did very well at a scrum early on. And then after that, I think Exeter probably got on top of them, both in the scrum and the line-out.
Bevan Rod didn't have a good day.
Yeah. And it's interesting that Bevan Rod, who started against La Rochelle, got dropped to the bench for this game.
Well, they've just got two very good loose heads. But I think if I was going to back a loose head in particular to do scrummaging, it'd be Harrison all day long.
Yeah. But Hepburn got change against Oosthuizen in a couple of big scrums. Sorry, on the other side, obviously.
Quick one. How was Sanderson when you interviewed him after the game?
Intense.
He was very intense.
Devastated. You could tell that. Trying to take the positives, trying to lick wounds, and I thought he said all the right things. We're going to use this. We're going to use this pain.
We're going to use this for when motivation.
When he said that, I thought, he says it right at the end of your interview. Ooh, yeah, I bet they are actually. I bet it's going to be.
They were hurting.
Yeah. That is going to be very, very interesting.
They think that they'll win it. They think they'll win the whole thing.
Yeah. Cool. If they beat Exeter, which they definitely can do, they 100% can beat Exeter at Sandy Park.
Well,
if they do that, who would back against them?
The teams that would be loving this the most are Harlequins and Bristol. They're going, oh yeah, another one of those lads.
Yeah.
Massive injuries, massive intense battle.
Another three injuries for each team, please.
I don't know. Do you look at that Exeter Sale game and think, I'm looking forward to facing one of those teams?
No, you'd go, punch each other out a bit.
Wear
each other down and then soften each other up and then we'll take advantage.
Each lose three more of their best players and then we'll play them with a...
Steel, sharp and steel.
Until the point that it doesn't, until there's no steel left to sharpen.
So we're going to have these two conflicting semis, aren't we? The absolute blood and thunder.
Let's talk about the two cards, briefly.
Yeah.
So,
the red card was not a red card in my mind.
And the yellow card probably was more of a red card than the red card.
I thought the red card was
the Sam Skinner one, tackling Faf.
Yeah.
It's a horrendous collision, but rugby's a horrendous sport. So.
Yeah, and I think, I'm certain there is a rap. He tries to rap, and I would definitely question whether the initial contact was shoulder to head or shoulder to shoulder.
Definitely,
I agree on that.
Definitely,
and I also think Sam Skinner's body position is what you're trying to get rugby players to do. He was hinged at the hip, almost to 90 degrees.
It's just it's one of those coaching collision. Boys.
If you gave him a red card, and I think Rob Baxter is probably going to say it's just one of them, mate. Maybe we'll have to get more 5'6" players.
I just don't like
running around.
So I don't like it because I understand why the laws have changed. Yardy, disclaimer, right? But I watched that with no sound, so I can tell you guys are discussing it with the benefit of listening to the conversation. I watched it with no sound. I was racking my head.
Oh no, the comms were all going, "Yeah, that's a red card. That's a red card."
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So I was racking my brain as to like, it looks like a red card. For someone who doesn't know anything about rugby, but if you follow the actual letter of the law,
there was one side, one of the angles, it did look bad because you can't see the point of contact, and Faf's head does kind of snap back a little bit.
His hair makes that.
Yeah, it's like the slow motion.
His hair goes everywhere.
Well, Rocky. Well,
that's why WWE wrestlers have long hair.
Is that right?
Because when you move your head
and wet as well,
it sprays the water, flicks up. It looks more dramatic.
Really,
it's like when you watch Rocky and someone gets punched. Sweat goes everywhere. Yeah. It looks incredible in slow.
Yeah, don't forget to spit your gum shield out.
Exactly. So, but one of the angles did you're like, oh god, and then the other angle you're like, well, no, he's wrapped. It's a kind of shoulder to shoulder, and obviously, Faffy's giving away 6 stone to Sam Skinner. So
and 2 feet.
Yeah. So It's yeah. I was surprised and a little bit disappointed at that. That's well, actually, disappointed first. Not that surprised, but
yeah.
It's a tackle that looks like it should be a red card, although I don't think it is.
Yeah,
and I could have understood the U as one more so being a red card. Although I was quite happy it was yellow as well. So,
yeah.
Hard.
Hell of a game.
Did either of you see the yellow card for Zach Henry in Wasps Leicester?
No.
No.
Which was an interesting one. I think was probably handled well.
Final game for the Tigers.
Yeah, what do you make of that, actually? They're getting rid of all their backup fly halves.
Yeah, fine.
Johnny McPhillips is gone.
Yeah.
Fine.
Henry's gone. And I'm sure that...
I like Zach Henry. I think he'll do well.
And Johnny McPhillips is a very capable, solid, dependable squad 10.
But they're not George Ford, and fine, they've got Freddie Burns.
It sounds like they're probably in the market for someone else as well.
Unless they've got a good kid coming through who we're not aware of.
What have I heard of?
Just tell us about the yellow.
So, Marcus Watson breaks down the right wing. He passes to, I want to say Robson, but that might be wrong. But just after he passes, he goes into Zach Henry, and he kind of jumps. But it's not a jump into contact, but he is, as he's running... Marcus Watson jumps. So he is kind of off the ground, and Zach Henry goes really low, really kneecap low, and almost half pulls out. So he ends up standing up as Marcus Watson jumps into him, and it looks in full speed. It looks horrific because Marcus Watson kind of goes up and over, legs in the air, lands on his head, and it was given as a yellow card. And they actually, I think it was Luke Pearce, praised both Zach Kearney for going low, but also the unlikely. It's not a reckless challenge. It's an incredibly unlucky collision, but then still gave it as a yellow card. But
I don't understand that.
But you can still I was glad it was only given as a yellow card. I actually could have said it's a rugby incident because there was some fault on the tackled player. But I was just glad it wasn't a red card, because if you watch that full speed, a lot of people's instant reaction would be
red.
Bloody hell, red card. Player landing on his head from a tackle player. It probably won't even make the highlight. Like because it was only a yellow, it's not that big a talking point. But it was a weird incident.
Yeah. So don't want to talk anymore about Zach Henry going to second division in France.
Nah.
Or Johnny McPhillips.
Johnny McPhillips is following the Tom Brady route, isn't he?
Carcassonne. Is
he?
He is. Augen.
I'm sure one of them is going to Carcassonne.
Yeah.
I thought it was Johnny McPhillips.
I thought Johnny... Or Breve. I would have... Maybe it is, although I feel like I would have noticed that, because...
In my head, I was like, this was a well-trodden route. Leicester Tigers, Carcassonne. Selling photovoltaic panels.
Exactly right.
I can't find that
very
video.
Good,
very
good.
I can't find that video, and I want to see it now, because all I've got in my head is that bit in Any Given Sunday. When is it Steaming Willie Beaming, or is it where he gets hit and does the somersault and lands in the end zone?
Steaming Willie Beaming. Yeah.
It's not as cool as that. Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, that's
cool. It is. So Johnny McPhillips is to Carcassonne. Zach Henry's to pow.
Well, pow, that's it.
Pow, pow, pow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
While we're talking that, how dramatic was the end of that top 14 playoff? Bayonne.
Oh my god!
Against beer.
Do you know someone sent me? Oh, somebody sent me that. Well, actually, they sent it on the same group, so we got it on our fantasy rugby group, and I watched it. And the most immediate thing I thought is, wow, Biarritz are playing Bayonne. I didn't realise Bayonne were in the top 14. I did know Biarritz were in Pro D2. That in itself is an enormous game. Just that in itself is an enormous game. Yeah. Because that as the playoff, this, well, you know,
as recently, because they are a few miles apart,
mm-hmm.
And as recently as 2015, they were talking about merging to form a single super club. Which obviously has been, I think it's been talked about for years and fallen down many times for years. But yeah, to have that level of history, that level of rivalry, and then be playing in the one goes up, one goes down, or one stays up and one stays down scenario is incredible. And then to get to the penalty shootout.
Three all at full time, six all at the end of extra time, so to penalty shootout with kicks from the 22, and it, I can't remember the name of the Bayonne guy that missed it, the winger, left winger, and then up steps Stefan Armitage, slots it over. And what I liked about the kicks as well, under so much pressure, you had these guys that obviously just do it in training.
Yeah.
Before training, yeah, I'd do a few kicks.
For what reason? Oh, well, you know, you never know.
Nudge. What a moment for Stefan Armitage. And I loved seeing a pitch invasion.
Yes, I loved that as well.
Good was a pitch invasion.
Go on there. Go on. Go celebrate. Try watching that clip, and you can't do it. Neither of you can do it now, with no context. So all I saw was that thing. So I'm trying to work out how Stefan Armitage is going to kick his way to victory, because I don't realise it's a penalty shootout. I'm watching the Bayonne winger kick it. I can't understand why Bayonne's first choice kicker is so bad. And I also can't understand why are Biarritz acting the way that they are? Why are they celebrating? Like, they were celebrating. They had their hands like on their head. They looked nervous. And as long as Steph takes the kick, I thought, oh, bloody hell, it's a penalty shootout.
So you think you were confused watching that? So I didn't have any of that context at all. And I was just checking on Saturday night. I was checking through the results on my phone. Let me find it, wherever it is. There you go, Biarritz Bordeaux. So I just checking top 14 results. And I checked the last 5 minutes, and it's got 100 minutes, but it had it as like 80 minutes, all of these things happening. I was like, hang on a minute. So kick at goal, Jermaine, kick at goal, Hart, kick at goal, Odea, kick at goal, Bosch, kick at goal, Rue. Like, what on earth
It takes you a little while.
What on earth is going on in this game? And I was like, are all these guys retiring and they've just like given penalties away and they're all having shots at goal.
I originally thought they might have got the wrong Armitage. Of course, they didn't.
Here we go. The clip.
Oh, awesome. So, awesome.
So, Zach Henry. Wasps attacking this way. This is the Marcus Watson. So, Wasps attacking this way. The ball is about to go to the right wing, and Marcus Watson is about to break.
I love watching rugby in beautiful sunny conditions as well.
Yeah, not
Robson,
keen.
Robson breaking. One pass, two passes. Here he goes. So did you see that?
Yeah.
So let the boys play.
We'll skip forward a bit on this.
Yeah,
now.
I understand what you said. Let the boys play.
I can't see a thing now.
So it's nicely in the shadows.
Hard to know what to do with
I'm
that.
Glad Luke Pearce said that's not a red card.
Here we go.
Step. He goes low.
What's the coaching point there for Zach Henry?
Don't stand up with players.
Well, yeah. If anything,
that's Marcus Watson's
fault. I know.
Fault.
It's totally
Marcus Watson's fault.
I don't even think it's his fault.
Not fault. The reason he flipped is because of the actions of himself.
Yeah, and I said before he jumped. He maybe jumps a tiny, tiny bit, but he is running. So it's anything. I mean, it's definitely shouldn't be a red card for me.
No,
it's
not
just
a red card, is it?
That is a rugby. That
is one of the very few ones which looks better in slow motion.
Yeah, it does look better in slow motion.
Slow that down a bit more, please.
No one did anything wrong.
That doesn't look good, though.
But it's. I don't think it's. Yeah.
Fine. If you want to give that, fine. I don't think there's anything to gain by giving anything for that.
Yeah.
No one was hurt.
No one wasn't hurt.
It wasn't a dangerous landing. They're both. It's just a rugby incident for my money, but fine.
You
I understand
right.
People are going to go, oh, red card, fine, whatever.
No, but you are right on the What is the coaching point for Zach Henry? Because he is as low as he possibly can go.
Can't get any lower.
He definitely can't get any lower. And he's definitely not trying to do anything.
Yeah, and also, players are told to remain in contact and bring a player to ground safely.
Yeah, and he does remain in contact. So he doesn't drop
him. The only way he's able to do that with Marcus Watson's arms is by following his legs up and over.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Fine.
It's an interesting one.
It's not a red
one.
Card anyway. But
no, it's definitely
unless
not a red
the one.
Card. Yes. Yeah. Good win for Leicester in the end. It was a bit of a mixed bag of a game. There's some good things and some... It did feel like the end of a long two seasons watching this game at times, where some of the defence, like for the Matt Scott and... I think one of
the Matt Scott try was lovely.
Lovely. No one picks him up, though. Like, there's a great shot of the Matt Scott try from behind the posts where you can see all of the movement of both teams. And Matt Scott runs that line from like 20 yards away. It's a great line, but it is telegraphed. And he picks an enormous gap because no one picks him up. There was another one, I can't remember which try, but at least one of the Wasps tries was a little bit of defence optional from Leicester. But it made quite an entertaining spectacle.
One of the messages on the live chat was about a suggestion that we do a kind of end of season review on clubs, which we could do.
Perfect, love that.
Yeah, so that's a great shout. And with any more ideas, by the way, we're going to do a Q&A pod.
Yes, we need to
aren't
do that.
We? So questions, your thoughts, your starting points, ideas like exactly that one, thank you for it. contacteggchasers@gmail.com. Our email address, contacteggchasers@gmail.com.
And it's just been exactly 1 hour since we started this, so I'm going to give a plug. North Dorset 7s and 10s. So, logistical challenges have hit us now. Turns out, organising rugby teams is very, very difficult. So, first things first, we are doing a live show on the Sunday in the North Dorset 7s. That is at 11 a.m.
Gillingham
in the
Rugby Club.
Gillingham,
not to be confused with Gillingham Rugby Club.
Not to be confused with Gillingham.
Which, interestingly, my grandparents lived in Gillingham for a bit, and my grandfather was a merchant.
Merchant of Venice.
Yeah, Merchant of Venice. He was like a merchant for the Navy. So he worked at
merchant seaman.
Merchant, yeah, but he used to be ledger. He used to basically just keep track on all of the stuff that came in to ports and went out.
Ah.
And so he worked at ports and Portsmouth, but he worked at the Chatham Dockyards for a while. And so he lived in Gillingham in Kent. Gillingham is in Kent, Gillingham is in
You've
Dorset.
You've actually confused me more now.
We're going to Dorset.
Dorset, okay. Gillingham, North Gillingham Dorset Rugby 7s. Club. Gillingham Rugby Club, right? So that is 11 a.m. Where do we find tickets? Do you know what? It's not Breitbart.
I listened.
I couldn't
back
believe
to that.
It was a Breitbart. Bloody hell! Eventbrite.
Special guest Ben Shapiro.
Yeah. Eventbrite.
Steve Bannon will be there.
Oh my word!
I was watching that down in the gym when I was watching on Friday. What did JB just say? Breitbart to get to the North Dorset 7s.
Oh my word! Yeah. So North Dorset 7s. Eventbrite. ND7s, Eventbrite.
ND7S. Event on Eventbrite.
Yeah, you'll find it.
North Dorset 7s on Eventbrite. Get your ticket for the live show. If you're a patron, claim your free ticket.
Now, buy the tickets via the link. You can buy when you get to the 7s, but they're going to be substantially more expensive on the day. And we need to sell the tickets earlier because we need to work out numbers. If that makes sense. So if your idea...
Especially when there's like... No, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's getting tricky because I know a lot of people have gone with the intention to buy on the day. Do not do that because they'll be more expensive. Last thing. Arranging rugby teams. It has dawned on me. In fact, it's dawned on Lee Mack, who is our team manager, that when you have two teams playing, 10s and 7s, maybe we might not be able to play all the 10s and all the 7s. We need more players. So
we were going to run like a dual squad, weren't we?
Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to do
some 10s. And it works out like 86 million matches. So I'd have to do a lot of rugby.
Yeah, some of which are probably concurrent as well.
Yeah, yeah. So we need more people to play. If you're over 35 and you want to play 10s, or just come for a drink. In fact, if you just want to be a supporter and come for a drink,
Vets tournament.
The Vets tournament, over 35s for 10s. 7s, any 7s player, preferably at least low-level international standard.
Tier two, it can be a past international. That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, only a past international if you've kept yourself in shape.
Tier one past international, right? Yeah, that's... So, if you want to play sevens, come play sevens. Because if we have sevens players, we can release players for the tens and vice versa. So we need more players. It's dawned on us. We have an infeasible amount of rugby to play.
And it'll just be a good crack as well.
Yeah. So that's contact egg chasers. Contact egg chasers at Gmail. Do that.
At gmail.com. JD has just meant... Were you going to say something on that?
No, go on.
Phil can't play as well. That's another injury we have to contend with.
Injured.
It's amazing, isn't it, how he's panelled his injury so far in advance.
I'm always injured.
And your brother's not coming now.
I know.
Do you reckon you can...
Sweet talk him.
I'll see if I can...
I've told him that I'll look after him.
Work at him.
I won't let him get hurt.
Yeah. my brother played at, you know, Premiership and stuff, and Phil played at Championship. Might have even played against Nick.
Yeah.
A few times, I think.
He beat you up?
I definitely played against him when he was at Nottingham. Maybe at Plymouth as well.
Point being, they've both played at a good standard. Aren't these ex, like, pro slash or semi-pros even, a little bit precious with their bodies?
Too finely
tuned. Like after retirement.
Do you know who's not precious with their body? And I love him for it. Dean Schofield, the captain of the championship-winning Sale team, was playing for Stockport until last year. That's awesome.
Toulon captain at one point as well.
He was a Toulon captain. Yeah. He's a Sale captain. I'm pretty sure he must have captained either Worcester or Leeds.
Probably both.
He did London Welsh when they came up. And he's still playing. Well, no. This is the first season he won't be playing because he's concentrating on various businesses which he has. But he was playing last year for Stockport.
Wow.
JD on the live chat says, and he's quite right, surely Dan Cole's try deserves a mention. A rarity right there.
Yeah.
A collector's item.
It really is a collector's item.
Is it his second?
He definitely scored one for England.
Oh, is it England he scored for, maybe?
Well, he might have scored another one for Leicester. I'm sure, I don't think it was mentioned in comms on the Wasp game this week, but I'm sure only a few weeks ago, Nick Mullins mentioned that Kieran Brooks is something like 150 or 160 Premiership appearances without a try.
Yeah. Oh, Kieran Brooks is leaving Wasps, isn't he?
Yeah, there's a few players. Like both Wasps and Quins announced players who are being released. And there's some bloody talented players.
Yeah, so the Quins list is really quite talented. Baldwin, Landaco.
So Baldwin's been signed.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, just actually released.
Released. Yeah, Nathan Earle was one who was released, and then he's now going to Newcastle. Yeah, picked up by Newcastle. Landaco is very talented. Aliyah is very talented.
Is it Aliyah?
Aliyah. And Benny Taps.
Benny Taps is great.
And Dean Richards was talking about this. It's his comments from yesterday in the rugby paper today, and he's basically saying the quality of players that don't have any club is frighteningly good.
Yeah.
Well, frightening,
but also maybe this, I know, Tim, you were talking the other week about how do you solve the South African problem, or the problem where you are incentivized to buy massive, enormous, very talented South Africans because they're relatively cheap. But there's actually been, so obviously last year when there was a 25% reduction in Premiership wages, saw a greater than 25% reduction for most players, because the top players, there would be a handful of players who could command whatever they want anywhere in the world, who will not have taken any pay cut, or certainly won't have taken 25%, and then everyone else will have borne the brunt of that, so people have taken a much greater. And actually, the value of a squad level winger, any position, has gone down. Obviously, was not intended to address redress the balance of English to South African talent in the Premiership, but it has the unintended consequence of doing. It will look like something that you mentioned just last week, and so there are a lot of very talented players who are going to find themselves without a club.
Tough, isn't it?
And if you're transitioning from rugby, fortunately, the RPA, this is one thing they're very good at, is helping people with qualifications or training or whatever. Mm-hmm. But If you've only been a rugby player and you're going to transition to something else, it's not a great time to be leaving the sport and going in.
No, it's not.
Up something else. So
it's not.
There's a lot of people that, you sort of forget about the human part. We just consume the product we see on the telly, but the human aspect of this is quite tough. I mean, this is the same for all sorts of careers in all sorts of ways.
But it is. I think, more pronounced in professional sport because not all of these guys are on mega, mega money. And actually, none of these guys are on mega, like ludicrous footballer or greater money. But to be, if you're a 20 to 25 year old lad who's had kind of 4 or 5 years of being a professional rugby player, you might be earning, I don't know, if you're lucky at the moment, you might be earning 100k. There'll be players less than that, players are more than that. But as a 25 year old lad, what other jobs can you go, like, jump into and be earning 100k?
I think, right, if you're earning 40k, right, on the very high end academy contract, right? Yeah. 40k is probably the highest end. Maybe
30k. But whatever it is.
Whatever it is, 35k, 40k, doesn't matter. If you're earning that kind of money and you are 18, you are basically a millionaire. You're basically a millionaire.
Yeah, if you're 23 and you're on 100k, which these guys, like, there are players who are on more than that, who are not even, or certainly historically not even the top guys, like, that is mega.
Huge
you
money.
Will not be able to go and get that kind of money anywhere else at
if
that age.
If you leave professional rugby after... At the age of 22, you don't quite make the cut at the top level, so you and all you ever got was a 35k academy contract.
Yeah,
the hit on you. Yeah, you've got a transition, but the hit will not be as pronounced as if you've got a mortgage based on earning 150k.
Have I told you a story about? Yeah. So I was talking to a player. I won't name any names for obvious reasons, but we were doing modelling of like different. Different salary bands and.
I thought you could say we're doing modelling.
Yeah.
Like, speedos by the pool.
Exactly.
Foot modelling.
Yeah. foot modelling. Just two mates hanging out. And actually, we came to the conclusion that your best bet in professional rugby is not to earn 200k because it's so hard to replace, or 100k is very hard to replace, and it's actually not that much. But if you're, earning 40 to 70. And your wife still works, and you're pretty realistic with cash. You're probably better off earning 40k because you can replace 40k. Mm. It's not going to be a massive life changing thing.
Or at least you're best off putting maximum amount of pension contributions in whilst you're earning 70 and living on 40 because you can replace that.
Exactly. Do not spend it. Do not spend it. As I tell them all the time, do not spend it. Stop spending.
So wait, no Ferraris, no Lamborghinis, no Range Rovers.
Tough to say, isn't it?
G63 AMG.
One day Francois Houha will stop playing, and he's still going to have the payments on his Lamborghini.
How do you finance a Lamborghini? I will never know.
I don't know. I mean, that is
and sleep
why,
at night.
Why would you? Yeah, I'd sleep at night. That's the point.
Unless you sleep in the Lamborghini, in which case it's steel.
There's more comfortable cars to sleep in if that's what you're doing.
Oh dear!
I'd get a Volkswagen Passat. Francois, much more practical to sleep in. Nice big boot. You could just change it up. That could be like a
lovely, isn't it? Lovely.
Spare bedroom.
So just back onto Wasp signings and releases. Sam McIntyre is returning to sell Sharks, which is no big news for majority of people. It's big news for us.
He's a Broughton Park boy.
Broughton Park lad.
Our local club to this podcast right now.
Coming home, so very, very happy about that.
Mm. Yeah, and some good competition for Harrison and Rod.
Yeah.
Yeah,
can really good sign, actually.
Can I just ask the question, as slightly off topic for a minute, but just because you mentioned foot modelling, Phil, where do you stand on wearing flip flops, not by a poolside or on the beach, like just walking down?
I'd wear them all the time.
Shorten High Street, you're fine with that.
Yeah,
if I've got to walk anywhere, any great distance, no, from a practicality and comfort.
What about flip flops and socks? Because this seems to be a trend at the moment.
Socks and sliders.
It's socks and sliders, not flip flops.
Why sliders? What's the difference?
It's with thongs.
You wouldn't be able to. The sock.
Oh, yeah.
You have to squash the sock down.
That's a fair point.
Socks and sliders.
Socks and sliders are comfy.
Stormzy was a big part of this trend, I think,
a few years ago. Is that right?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. You're still in the biz, Tim.
So I saw a gentleman the other day with socks and sliders, right? And I just thought, oh. The guy's obviously just, can't be bothered. He's just kind of, as I would. Like, I've been to the co-op around here basically in my pyjamas, right? Literally in my pyjamas. So I have complete respect for that. But then I looked at his socks and they were a particular brand. That's like, no, he hasn't just rolled out of bed. That's a confected look.
Was it the Adidas sliders with the Adidas socks?
No, it was Adidas sliders with Jordan socks.
Oh.
So he's got his way to match that with that. So this actually isn't what I thought it was. This isn't me going to the shop in my
It's a thing
in my pajamas,
and it almost seems quite ironic, doesn't it? Like it's done knowingly.
Ironically, yeah.
Like I'm taking the piss out of granddads who always got the mick taken out of them for wearing socks with sandals.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very comfortable.
You can get away with wearing absolutely anything you want in Chorlton.
Well,
because people are so mad around here.
Some of the outfits...
They're incredible.
At CrossFit.
Oh, CrossFit fashion, probably my favorite of all the subjects.
No, and actually, just gym in general, because I've...
Rogue, I only wear Rogue.
Off the CrossFit one, just in gyms in general, there are some people who dress up too much to go to the gym with, and they really match... they really match their outfits. They have a certain cut of vest.
Yeah. Some of the women's outfits are incredible. Incredible.
The Virgin Active that we both used to go to in Salford Quays, some of the
there's more effort going into the gym than there is going on a night out.
They would be fully made up, like as if they're going to go for a night out or a professional photo shoot, and always matching... Yeah. Leggings and top.
Yeah, you're there to work. You're there.
Well, funny enough, they're all working.
They're not because they don't want to sweat.
You're wrong. You're both wrong here. So there was some. I'm going to sound like a right creep here. In Virgin Active, right? There was a girl filming herself. Right. Oh, that's interesting. Do you mind if I ask, like, what you're filming? And she goes, "Oh yeah, I'm a YouTuber." So I've looked on her YouTube and she's got like 150,000 followers. I was like, wow, you really are working. This is, I mean, jokes on us for not filming ourselves and not getting made up. Like, that's what I think. That's a serious channel.
I kept getting side at in the gym. So I've got a little Pure Gym round the country membership. So wherever I go and work, London, well, Exeter at the weekend or whatever, I can just go. But and the number of times, it's happened a few times actually at different places. So it's clearly a trend. People sighing or tutting when I walk to... a bit of equipment, and they've got a camera positioned, and I walk through the middle of it. There's a lot of that crap going on.
I would definitely walk around a camera, though.
Well, I didn't spot the camera because it was so far away. And anyway.
You work in the biz, Tim. You should know where all the cameras are.
No, but the look that fellas have, they have a certain cut of vest that's quite wide vest.
Yep.
So it comes quite wide on the shoulders. They all have tiny, like, sparrow legs, big upper body, sparrow legs, and a snapback cap.
Well, do you remember a few years ago, this sort of died out a bit, but these gym tops, they were ripped towards the bottom or extra long, so they would go maybe to thigh height, but they'd be sort of ripped. They're very strange. Very, 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 very strange.
I'm so glad I don't go to Globo gyms. I can just, it's just me watching our podcast down in my own gym.
Yeah. All right, humble brag. My own gym.
My own podcast.
That was bearing in mind the last year and a half we've had. That was such a good investment. That
was it just
so good. So
and if you'd waited
so
1 month more, you'd have paid what £5,000 extra for everything.
It would have cost a fortune if I'd done it a year later. Yeah,
stuff starting to become available again finally, and I'm like, I don't need it now.
Yeah, I'm thinking about. Let's talk about what I'm going to buy for CrossFit later.
I tell you what, I do want. I want to get a set of either a full rack of dumbbells from everything from 2 to 50 kgs. Or some adjustable dumbbells that are really, really good that you can
twist. That you little twist.
I think I'd go adjustable.
Sorry?
I think I'd go with adjustable. I feel it's neater.
Yeah, but there's something about having the full rack of dumbbells. And adjustable, I imagine they're a little bit unbalanced rather than...
You've only got to take... But in a few years' time, when you're past it, you've only got to take one trip to the tip.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No, it'll be Thomas. Thomas will be down there grafting. Whether he likes it or not.
I would like a barbell. I'd like 150 kegs of plates. And
the proper ones, the red, blue.
Yeah, yeah.
Red, blue, yellow, green.
I did look at getting Elite Cut. So I got an absolute steal on my weights, but I looked at getting the proper Olympic Elite bars. I don't know what you guys use in CrossFit, but the proper Olympic stuff. It was thousands.
We've got Wolverson. I quite like
thousands and thousands for what I've got.
Yeah, but it looks cool.
It looks
and
amazing.
And if you're filming yourself, not that I have. you can have the different. You can. You know, people who are watching it can see how much you're lifting. You don't. You know. You don't need to tell them.
Yeah. With the red.
Reds. How many reds?
Yeah. How many reds? Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's good because. Quite often you get at gyms that those cheap bumpers that are only that they look like they're 25k plates but they're only 2.5.
They're great for filming yourself.
So a friend of mine plays at Leeds Beckett. His brother plays at Leeds Beckett, right? and he's very good rugby player. And this one, Leeds were doing all right. He's sort of making it into championship team, and they were sort of pushing it. But I think he's at Leeds back on it, like a scholarship. So when they took the other boys round on the scholarship, what the lads would do is they put a 20 on the end of
the bumper weights.
Yeah, on the bumper, and then some 20s
on the end.
Yeah, and then they'd be doing squats as like the new lads walk around. Love that.
What was I going to say? Next week. A few other things. So, one thing you mentioned on Thursday's podcast, which I've not had a chance to do, but you mentioned you wanted to say Tom James, the Northampton scrum half, and you cycled through like...
Luke James, Sam James, and it's Tom James.
Yeah, and then I thought, you could probably have a James 15.
Do you know what?
What a great
Paul
shout.
James, there's actually, a Tom James
Paul James
winger.
A prop. There must be a...
James a second row.
So I actually thought of using this as a quiz question. How many players with the name James can you get in 20 seconds?
You'd have Brock James and...
James.
And Butch James.
Yes.
Butch James has moved to 12, of course. Sam James and Luke James. Tom James the winger. Tom James the scrum half.
Daffith James. On the wing.
And the other wing.
Yeah, good shout.
Yeah. You'd not be far off a full 15.
Very nice. Yeah, that was going to be like, I was going to formulate that into a quiz question.
I think the live, by the way, if you're still watching on YouTube, thank you, because I gather that the sound and the stream's been a bit of a mess today.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. But
and it's now disappeared.
Yeah.
So, it's into that.
Oh, well.
The other thing I wanted to mention was, and I can't remember why you got into it, but you were talking about massive players.
Uh-huh.
Did you see the picture that Chris Robsorow posted last week?
Hold on, before we get into that, why do you need a reason to talk about massive players?
Yeah, well, good question.
We were talking about the guy to the like next to Antoine Dupont. Did you see the picture?
No, I've not seen it. You get me that.
This guy's enormous. But you know, I haven't seen a picture of Chris Robsorow.
So Chris Robsorow last week playing for San Diego Legion posted a picture that at first didn't look. I didn't give it a second glance, so it's that picture there.
Okay.
And then I looked at it in detail, I was like, which one's Chris Robsorow? And Chris Robsorow is second from the right hand. Chris Robsorow is that one, which means that bloke is absolutely enormous.
Wow.
I don't know. I went through the San Diego playing squad on the day to try and work out how it was, and I'm not actually sure.
That guy is...
But he is huge.
So I'll tell you what. Chris Robsorow in the flesh is a chunky man.
I'm running out of battery, so it's not. I haven't got much brightness, but there's Dupont
scale. Yeah,
look at that guy there. Look at his shoulders.
Who is it?
That's a Cyril Bai, and he just dwarfs Cyril Bai.
Yeah,
big boy.
He's massive arms.
His arms are outrageous.
Right.
That guy. Yeah, find out who he is. I need to know.
Let's get back on track. I watched the barrage. Anyone see that?
The barrage.
Barrage. It is. I don't know if that's how you say it. It is the French playoffs. It was Racing versus Stade.
No.
Great game.
Is this the first round of playoffs? How does it work?
So the top four go through... Hold on. Is it just the top four? Yeah, the top two go through to the semi-final.
Yep.
The next four... It's how they used to do the championship, isn't it? The next four playoff to be the away team in the semi-final.
Yes.
It's like the wild card playoff.
Yeah.
So NFL. When was the club call?
Sadly, that didn't happen. So, Racing absolutely battered Stade until half time, and then Stade came back into it with like 24 points. It was actually turned out to be a really good game.
Yeah, so it was 38 unanswered points and then 24 unanswered points.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Racing, no, the Stade number 8, McAloo, is it?
McAloo, yeah.
Yeah.
Is something else. He is something else. Yeah. When he finally wins that French number 8 shirt, because that's where he's playing for Stade, he is going to be
They've got a few
awesome.
Vying for that one, because they've got the Joseph.
Wocky is one of my favourite players.
Jordan Joseph.
Jordan Joseph.
Has he sort of fallen off the boil a bit? Because I don't know where...
He's still young. He's still maybe 20.
I think he's not even at Racing anymore, is he?
Oh, I think he is.
Why do I think he's at Lyon? I know
They might have sent him on loan.
I know Bamba is at Lyon, which is an incredible one to lose, but they can't keep him all.
Yeah, Jordan Joseph is still only 20. He is still at Racing, according to Wikipedia, which is often wrong.
But right, so
there he is. Another question.
Yeah.
Did you watch Bath this week?
Did I watch Bath? Saw all the highlights.
Josh Bayliss is wheels.
So you have had a 50% reduction in your Max Ajomo career viewing.
Oh, no. Did he have a full game?
Well, he started.
How did he get on?
I've not watched.
I've only... England squad member Max Ajoma.
What's your reaction to Max Ajoma being called up? Am I absolutely right as normal?
As always, JB.
As always.
Thank
as
you.
As always.
We know this.
And the conversation we had about Exeter.
He followed us on Sale. Twitter, by the way.
Did he?
Max Ajoma did? Yes. Get
at Rugby Podcast.
I think he's followed me personally as well, actually. After tweeting about him.
Yeah, I only saw the highlights of this game, but the Baelish try. I mean, the Faletau try was awesome.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
There was a couple of nice tries from the Hutchinson try and the Nairavoa try.
Well, if we're talking about nice tries, not to just cut in there, but Adam Radwan's was something else.
Oh, my word. That guy has got wheels.
Wow.
Yeah, Radwan. Radwan looked awesome. Yeah. Speaking of other nice tries, did you see the Ryan Baird try?
Yeah.
For Leinster this week.
My word. He's an athlete, isn't he?
Ridiculous.
It was interesting.
That was absolutely ridiculous. Like, it was, the whole thing was ridiculous. Yeah. He is some athlete. But it was crazy.
Of course, we got the London Irish Bristol game was lost to us this week.
Yeah.
Another COVID cancellation. It's weird that this is happening. The numbers are so low, but we're getting anyway. Weird.
Well, I guess they're low, aren't they? But they seem to be targeted at a certain population, which are younger people. Road players are younger people.
Yeah, I'd love
they're more sociable.
Lots of student halls to visit.
Although Sanderson was saying, you know, Sale are on complete lockdown. Like, you know, you can obviously go and see your friends and family and whatnot, but don't visit pubs. Don't put the team in jeopardy. And that's what they're going with.
Yeah,
which I would do as well, to be honest.
100%. Because they.
For the sake of a couple of weeks.
Winning the Premiership, yeah. And
they've had the pain last season as well.
Yeah.
As in, like, they lost out because they'd lost the top four spot, which would have given them a shot at the title because of the same thing.
Yeah. I hope that these next 2 weeks is the last time you have to do constant testing as a squad. Because, yeah, but that's a whole other conversation, but it must be such a...
Yeah, I mean... Once the whole squad's vaccinated, or at least those who choose to get vaccinated,
Or at least had the option to, should they want to.
But surely, by that point, by the time everything restarts, domestic rugby restarts in September, I really hope we are. It's a distant memory by
then.
I don't think it's ever stopping. No. I'm with you, Tim. I can't believe the season's in September.
I know. This season has just been
play harder, boys.
Yeah, more welfare.
Okay. So
Quinn's put in a really, really good win against Newcastle. Loads of tries. Again, you're gonna have to forgive us because, well,
I was hammered.
Well, yeah,
I was in the rugby club. I was very drunk.
But also, all the games kicked off at the same time, and I was at Sandy Park. And unless you're a fan of another club, everyone should and was rightly watching. Exeter Sale.
Yeah.
I was playing rugby.
I watched that, and then I watched the Wasps Leicester game when I was in the gym today.
Mm.
Yeah. That unfortunately.
The Bristol London Irish thing almost worked to the point there was a couple of people in the morning or the night before in the morning when it had been sort of announced and touted before it was officially cancelled, who went, if you were London Irish and Bristol, you could imagine London Irish thinking potentially 2 points gets us into Europe. We might not get 2 points playing against Bristol. And Bristol go, yeah, well, we could sew up top position and have a rest week.
Yeah.
And
so you're suggesting they're all COVID boys?
I'm saying some people said, they went, hey, should we just...
Get me James Shaw.
Just do a deal.
Do you think... I think I know the answer to this. Do you think...
I'm not suggesting that's what happened, by the way, of course.
Yeah. So Bristol only got called off after Exeter and Sale had named their teams.
Yes.
Do you think, had it been already off, it would have changed anything? As in, Bristol are already guaranteed top spot. Would Exeter have taken the opportunity to rest?
I asked Rob Baxter that exact question.
Yeah.
First question I asked.
Yeah.
And he said no.
No. He's got to say no.
I'd love him to say yeah.
Oh, yeah. It would have been great to rest these boys.
I don't play any of these lads. Premiership rugby should really have announced this a little earlier.
Well, yeah.
Right, let's talk about semi-finals because they're important.
Yes. Well, so what are the French semi-finals? Are they this weekend?
Don't care.
Okay, fine.
Well, we got the Mushroom Cup final.
Not that bothered.
Mushroom Cup final.
You're not bothered about the Mushroom
Benetton
Cup?
Benetton winning the Mushroom Cup.
How on?
Global Mushroom Cup.
No, it's not. The finals aren't on yet. The South African side. South African finals are on. Are they not?
No, it's
the Bulls.
This coming weekend, Saturday.
Mushroom Cup final.
Is the Mushroom Cup final.
Global Mushroom Cup final.
Oh, wow, amazing. Okay, so Benetton will win that.
Brilliant. Then we've got the wonderful second leg comeback by Ealing.
Ealing? Yeah. Anyone else? Anyone not going with Ealing?
Yeah, I'm 100% going with Ealing by 60.
61.
61.
Goodness me.
Let me find out the top 14 if I can.
And then we've got, Premiership semi-finals, which are huge.
Yeah. So we have on Friday in the top 14, so this is a playoff, so it's playoff semi-final, we have La Rochelle versus Racing, which is...
Ooh, that's tasty.
And then Toulouse versus Bordeaux. So, I mean, these are the top four, of the top teams in Europe, four of the top four.
Pretty...
A rematch of the European Cup final, perhaps?
Yeah, it could well be. It could well be La Rochelle. The two home teams are La Rochelle and Toulouse.
I'm
going to
go for the home teams because it's front.
Yeah.
Home teams.
Right. Come on.
So we talked at length about Sale Exeter earlier. So
let's talk at length even more.
We don't need to go over it much more because we know we talked about the potential injuries. They're going to pick very similar teams, albeit with potential injuries.
Do you think they're going to rotate? Not going to rest? Yeah. Rest for you lads?
Yeah, maybe rest up for the final.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think... is Yard fit?
No, he had a knock, but he will. I mean, okay. Aaron Reed did well.
He did very well.
But Yard will come back into that team, you'd think.
Aaron Reed is officially the fastest man in the Premiership.
Faster than Lewis Rees Summit?
Allegedly.
What will change for Sale, they'll have Marlon Yard back, probably. They'll have Van Rensburg on the bench, so they'll have a like-for-like Tuilagi replacement. So the drop-off with the lack of focus on Tuilagi will not happen. They'll get 80, even if they can't get 80 minutes out of Tuilagi, they'll get 80 minutes of that threat.
Yeah.
They've got another Curry that can mitigate for a Curry loss if they have both Curries. That's brilliant. Jono Ross was there and looking like he might be involved next week. Lou Diaga was there, didn't warm up in the squad, but he was there. He could be available next week. That would be big.
That would be massive. Because then it does allow you to put Jean-Luc Dupree to six.
Yes.
To an even bigger pack.
Opens up all kinds of possibilities. So, I mean, I think I did hear that Lude might only be fit for the final if they make it. But
he's well ahead of schedule, though.
But he could be pushed for the semi-final.
So have you heard what he's done?
Well, he has a double incentive, obviously, because he has the playoffs and then the Lions.
Yeah, and I can tell you what he has done. He's got a haircut like he's an Exeter Chief.
Oh, has he?
He's got a mullet.
Wow, did not know that. He's also sent his family back to South Africa so he can concentrate on rehab.
Oh, God. Lad.
Imagine being able to do that.
I'd love that excuse.
What an alpha move.
Yeah.
Sorry, Claire, I've got to concentrate on rehab.
Go.
Yeah, why are my bags packed? Rehab, sweetheart. Rehab. Lots and lots of rehab.
How long?
With the boys.
How distracting is your family to your rehab?
Yeah.
Has he got kids that just run at his knees?
No, I have no idea. Tim, I like to carry out my rehab in Ibiza, Barcelona.
I do like the excuses that some...
Oh, altitude's good for it. Rooftop bars. Absolutely. Altitude's good for rehab.
Absolutely.
I do like the excuses that... teams come up with for warm weather training, as if warm weather training. I mean, they just want to go to Portugal. So he's done that. Actually, when we put it like that, it doesn't sound quite as dedicated as I originally. Oh, wow, what a dedicated pro. And I'm thinking, no, actually, maybe not.
Yeah, these are the boys.
He is running. He is running. He's going to be ready.
That would be huge. And that could mitigate an AJ being out, for example. And Curtis Langdon's a good replacement for Akka van der Merwe.
Great replacement.
So, as I say, I think they can shift more focus onto Faf. So I think Sale could be almost as strong, if not as strong, in different ways. Exeter, as you already pointed out, might have some big holes. Mm. But the nature of Exeter is that they seem to bring whoever in and they do a job.
And I think I'm commentating on this for or doing comms with BBC Manchester.
Are you going down there for it?
I don't know what the plan is, but I think there's three of us doing it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Who's the third?
No idea. Big name, I'd hope.
You'd hope.
Another big name.
Huge name, yeah. Well, not quite as big as the current team they've got, but a nice third wheel.
That's exciting.
That's cool, because is there any local football on as well? Might they actually put it out
on the actual radio,
on the big channel,
on the wireless. Maybe. Hope so.
Yeah.
There's no point in doing it if no one's listening.
There won't be any local football because it's Euros and all domestic stuff's finished.
Yes, exciting.
Lancashire Lightning might be playing.
Yeah, they could be. So, yeah, listen up for that. Yeah, radio like you've never experienced it before.
Very enthusiastic.
Reinvented radio.
I'll go with watch BT Sport, listen to JB. I'll go with that.
Perfect. Now, Bristol. So,
what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, predictions.
Oh, Sale are winning it. They're winning it hands down.
It depends on injuries for me. I think if you take out those guys, those four enormous units that I listed before, Yanis Kirsten, Jack Vermaelen, Dave Ewers, and Sam Skinner, which at least one of them is definitely out, and it's likely there could be another two. If you take out, let's say, if you take out all four of those, Sale will win, I think. It just totally shifts that balance of power.
Johnny Gray might be back, which could mitigate that slightly, but still.
Johnny Gray is not the
those
same.
Four guys get through.
Yeah, and
so
just
watch
how
the
big,
sighting
how
panel. Watch
big.
The sighting panel.
They can all. They're all enormous. They can all carry
they
as
really
well,
help.
And they all offer that just that heavy traffic carrying threat.
Luke Cowan-Dickie was so good.
I'm going to make a good prediction though, and it's not a great prediction, but it's a prediction. The winner of this semi final is the winner of the championship.
I think they might take too much out of each other.
I'm now going.
I think Bristol, in my head, are current favourites for the title.
They've had a week's rest while the other two are bashing each other to bits.
Okay.
Yeah. So predictions for this game. Jimmy's saying Sale.
If Aka van der Merwe, Tom Curry and AJ McGinty are out and Lou Diaga is not back, Exeter win.
Come on, May.
I think Exeter win.
Yeah, no caveats. Yeah, no caveats.
Exeter win.
So I am also going for Exeter, but
Sale.
But I think this is a knife edge. I think this will go. I mean, it's not hard to say after a 20 points to 19 game, but I think this will be settled by one or two points in either direction. But give me Exeter.
Exeter will be, and they had a bad first half against Northampton. They had a bad, by their standards, first half against Sale. They need to click.
Yeah.
From the first whistle.
Hogg got taken off relatively early, didn't he? Or was that, did he come back on? Was it a yellow card? He got taken off for the yellow card.
Yes, that's
for
right. Yeah, you're right.
Ignore me.
Happily.
Now, the other semi-final, this is so exciting.
This is going to be this
tries
gonna be
everywhere.
Bristol Quins.
Yeah, this is going to be loose.
I have a feeling.
It's going to be awesome.
Quins are going to go well here. Really well. I don't know why. I just think that. Is Esther Hazen back? Or is he only back for final?
No. He's not even back for the final, is he?
Yeah,
Yeah, he's back if they make the final.
I think he's back for three games. So he wasn't available this game. Wasn't available.
No, he was six games.
Six games.
Yeah.
Because he had two red cards, hasn't he? It's the second one.
Second one of the season, so there's no mitigation. I can't remember.
Yeah. Oh, brutal.
And it was, no, was it just a, because it was the Curtis Rona elbow, forearm to the face.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sure it was six games because it was a while ago.
But they looked free flowing against Newcastle.
Yeah. I mean, Bristol played Quins, where Quins should have won the game a couple of months ago, and Bristol had an amazing comeback. Scored two tries in the last 8 minutes or something like that.
Quins are, like Northampton, very jarring to play against because you don't see that style too often. So Bristol play a very nice style, but they're more likely to come across a Sale or a Tigers or whatever it is. So when you come across a Harlequins, it does somewhat confuse teams, or it has the capacity to do so. A full strength Harlequins are a match for anyone. Marcus Smith can unlock any team on the planet, I feel.
You can. Definitely.
I think I'm going to go for a Harlequins victory.
Give me a Bristol victory.
I think these are two such great matchups in the semi-finals. I'm just going to go that crowd and at home. They didn't have the crowd for that last game at Ashton Gate.
Yeah.
And that might... And Bristol were lucky to get away with the win last time. I think it might just be worth 4 or 5 points, a couple of pens. So I'm going to go for Bristol.
Oh, just on Bristol, Sioli Pietel's left. Not left, but leaving the last two games.
Yeah. Which is a... It is a big loss.
It's a shame.
Yeah. Oh. So I've just checked. London Irish Quins was round 17. So we've had rounds 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Now, that was on the 23rd of April, so there was no games in Europe. So if it's six games, which I think it is, he will miss this game. Esther Hayson will miss this game. So he would then be available for the final. Unless Harlequins have arranged some game of three.
They need, yeah, they need to get a friendly with Harlequins amateurs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah. I seem to be alone on my prediction for Harlequins.
And on sale. So.
Yeah, you're out on a limb.
Ooh, I don't think both of those results happen.
The sale one is the more likely, in my opinion.
Sale Harlequins final, then obviously sale win the whole thing. That's how I see it.
So if it's a sale Harlequins final, yes, sale win the whole thing.
Hmm. Oh, I mean, the big question, will Saracens rest up their Lions? Legitimately, you might go...
Go on, lads.
Sit all seven of, or however many, sit them all on the bench.
Go to Jersey, play.
they could and probably should sit them all on the bench. Yeah. Or even though it's not playing. 60-0. 60-0.
Oh, last thing before we go. Steve Diamond linked to Gloucester, it sounds like. And not as a coach or as a player before you say anything. Mm. As an owner.
As an owner.
We've flippantly said that a few times on the podcast, haven't we? He won't be interested in being in charge, unless he's in charge.
So I wonder if he has, and this is pure speculation, I do not know, I wonder if he's found some financial backers from somewhere. He's a very wealthy individual in his own right, but he's not in the realms of hundreds of millions of pounds wealthy.
Yeah, you can't afford to lose.
He had some time as Russia head coach, didn't he?
Yeah.
He'll have made some contacts.
So
you can't afford to lose several millions of pounds per year in fully owning club outright.
So Gloucester wants to, one of the Gloucester shareholders is wanting to sell. Steve has got a willing buyer wanting to buy. You could see Steve Diamond at Gloucester. Mm. Oh, I don't like that. Mm. Don't like it. It doesn't feel right.
You start supporting Gloucester then.
It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right.
Well, he's been to Saracens before.
Didn't feel right then. Mm. And Northampton, don't forget that.
Yeah.
He's at Northampton too. So, we'll see how that one develops. An interesting story.
Mm. That is interesting.
Right, yeah, I think it was a great suggestion, by the way, the message that said we should just do a sort of end-of-season review, because then we can give a little bit of time to each club. Because I appreciate, if you're a Northampton fan, you'd have been listening and you only really heard, oh, Rory Hutchinson scored a good try.
Yes.
Yeah. It's that time of the season. Northampton have already sealed their fifth place, and that's the nature of it. But yeah, that would be cool. Good to have some time. We've got the Q&A podcast coming, so get your questions and thoughts in. Contact eggchasers@gmail.com. We're patreon.com/eggchasers. He's at Jay Beardmore. I'm at Cocker. Phil is lurking on Twitter. Hit subscribe. Go to our YouTube feed and hit subscribe. We have got so much content coming your way over the next couple of months in the culmination of the Premiership and Mushroom Cup, and of course in the build-up to the British and Irish Lions tour of South Africa. The players headed off today.
Is it?
No, they went to Jersey today. That's what I meant, yeah. Oh, because I was going, hold on, let me get back for Edinburgh. I'm going to the Edinburgh.
Oh, you? Why?
I'm going to Edinburgh for the Lions game.
You working?
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
Talk Sport.
Oh, awesome. Very good. Very good.
That is exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Right, but anyway, nice one. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Bob.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.